Hello, Popcornalorians. You are tuned in to Popcorn and Lore with your hosts, Steph with an F and
JC.
Right now, we're going to be talking about the movie that not only had almost the same exact audience score and tomato score, which about 73% to 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, also starred a starring class of actors: Will Ferrell, Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt, Tina Fey, also Ben Stiller and David Cross, and so many. There's so many other good actors in this, and it was directed by Tom Gaither. This is Megamind.
Yes.
So for all of you young Gen Zers and maybe even young alphas, so weird saying that, but that's the next generation. Megamind was a movie that really is just a great animated fun movie. Kind of think like Superman-ish with just, I mean, just a great cast, great comedic timing, and some really actually deep thoughts too, especially for an animated movie. An evil genius, Megamind, finally defeats his do-gooder nemesis, Metro Man, but is left without a purpose in a superhero-free world. So Metro Man is played by Brad Pitt, and he is kind of like Superman in a sense. He has a lot of the same powers. Megamind is a genius. Most of the time his plans fail, but that's just kind of how it goes. It's the give and take, you know. And Roxanne Ritchie, played by Tina Fey. Megamind is played by Will Ferrell. Roxanne Ritchie, she quote unquote kind of like Metro Man's girlfriend-ish,
a Lois Lane, yeah, news reporter.
But he doesn't really tell her anything when okay, so folks, just gonna be upfront about it. This is a movie from 2010. If you haven't watched it, you may want to watch it first, because we're gonna get into spoilers for this whole podcast. So first off, want to kick off with, what, JC, did this movie like mean to you? Because like 2010, you were what, just in high school, junior high ish
somewhere in there, probably closer to junior high. I'm thinking junior high. You know, I've grown up loving the superhero genre. My first introduction to superheroes, thinking, was probably Tobey Maguire's first Spider-Man film, and from there I was hooked, right? And so I got into comic books, I got into Batman, I got into, you know, a lot of different Spider-Man media, and really came to love just this form of storytelling. What this movie does is really interesting, because it takes a lot of different elements from just superhero lore in general, and it puts them together, but it turns it on its head when, again, spoiler alert, Megamind really becomes the protagonist of the film.
Yes. And what's really good is, for me, I mean, I grew up with the original Superman, and then also like Superman Returns and all the other ones. And so, like you said, this kind of changed it on its head a little bit. Also, I'm going to say Minion, great. Minion was the sidekick to Megamind, and really like just like a best friend. And that their dynamic, especially throughout the whole movie, though, but at the end, though, I mean, just really solidified the change of, I mean, Megamind always cared for Minion, but, you know, you would also see Megamind, you know, like push Minion around and stuff, and not always take Minion's ideas, or would take them and change them and say it was his. He did that a lot too.
Right.
But what's fun,
there
is
was
like
a friendship element, but he did not really appreciate Minion, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes. And it also showed that, you know, for every superhero needs a villain, and every villain needs a superhero. But you better be careful what you ask for, because you may just become the superhero because you created a villain.
That's right. Do we want to get into that, Steph, or did you want to talk about something else before moving into the plot?
Oh, well, I'd say let's talk about the beginning a little bit. Because especially
Great.
Because for me, the beginning was really kind of actually kind of copied Superman in a sense, but did it for two different perspectives. You know, Superman, which is Metro Man, if you want to consider it that way, you know, Metro Man and also Megamind were having to be sent from their planets. Sent from their planets from their parents to find another place to live because the planets were going to explode, which is what happened to Superman.
Metropolis.
Metropolis. Metropolis is Superman.
Yes, Superman. It's Metro City, but it's
Metro
funny
City.
Because Megamind calls it Metrocity.
Metrocity, yes, Metrocity. He and Metro Man are nemesis from the beginning. Megamind was heading for this wealthier family, and Metro Man's little ship knocked him out of the way and flew Megamind into a prison. So he grew up with convicts and learning how to steal, how to be that way. But he was still nice. He wasn't killing people or anything like that.
Right.
But you know, he would shrink ray or not shrink ray, freeze ray people. He and Metro Man went to the same school. Yep.
Yes.
And
spoiler alert, also Megamind has a hard time saying certain words. School is one of those.
Yes. School. and it brings more to the character, really. So they went to the same school together. Then Megamind got kicked out and decided to become a full-time villain against his nemesis, Metro Man.
Yes.
And then the dastardly plan, while everyone was celebrating Metro Man many years from the time in school, Roxanne was doing a newscast of the Metro Man. Was it a museum to him and a statue too, I think, right?
Yes, there was a big to-do about Metro
Yes.
Man. I can look into the details if you want.
It was, yeah, and it was a congratulations of thank you for saving the city and everything.
It was the grand opening of the new Metro Man Museum.
Ah, yes. And, of course, Megamind had to foil that. Took Roxanne again for the umpteenth time or whatever, and it just seemed like he'd done it so much and then had lost every single time that Roxanne really wasn't even terrified. She was just like, yeah, you can come get me. It's fine. You don't have to. He had all the Megamind had all this, you know, gadgets that should scare her and everything, because she was taken all the time, really wasn't.
And you know, the sad thing about it, I don't know if you agree. I mean, it's not just sad, it's funny, but Megamind is not really a super threatening villain. I mean, like you said, he's a genius, right? He's really smart, but he's not like a Joker by any means.
No, he's, I don't know what supervillain, I'd equate him to more like, I don't know, I can't think of one right off the top of my head that isn't like, become super bad or whatever, but I mean, he's not a full villain. He wants to be. He's trying to be, but he's not. There's certain things that he doesn't want, or I don't know if he doesn't want to do, but maybe he's just not willing to step that far because he doesn't think he has to. He's smart. He's intelligent. He doesn't need to kill people or whatever until he kills Metro Man. Dun, dun, dun. And the whole Metro City is in shock. Because there's no way he should have been able to kill Metro Man. Copper? Copper was Metro Man's nemesis, true nemesis, really? Or true, like,
his
kryptonite. True kryptonite. If you want to put that to Superman, and Metro Man's gone. What is the world going to do? What are well, Metro City, not the world, but Metro City. Well, they hand over the keys to the city. Mega Man gets away with everything, steals everything, takes over everything. But what does Mega Mind really have? Is Mega Mind really
That's right.
satisfied?
That's right. In the midst of all that success, at least in his mind, it was a successful life. He really came to find that he had really nothing, and he was quite sad about it.
Well, and it shows that on certain levels, and I mean, if you want to dive a little deep, leave a little bit into lore, in a sense. No, maybe not lore, but maybe into real life. If you get everything you want exactly when you want it, just doesn't mean truly anything. If you don't
Right.
have that com that com that someone, something to go, to go with that, whether that is a Superman or supervillain versus a superhero, whether that's a love of your life, whether that's friends, that's it equate to anything. I mean, of
That's
course,
right.
Megamind had Minion, but he didn't have someone to challenge him. Didn't
Yeah.
have someone to fight.
And I
Also,
want to point
didn't have
out,
someone to love.
that's right. And that's actually part of what I wanted to point out. You'll remember, Stephanie, he disguises himself as Bernard.
Yes.
And I forget what led up to this, but he fell in love with Roxanne.
Yeah. Well, he was as Megamind was walking through the museum to Metro Man, moping, didn't know what his purpose was anymore, didn't have a purpose, couldn't figure it out. And when he saw Roxanne, he changed into Bernard,
Right.
who was kind of like the keeper of the museum in a sense, I think. And he found his purpose. I mean, not off the right off the bat of falling in love with Roxanne. That was a progression, through his actions of cleaning up the city, though she did not know he was Megamind. She just thought he was this great guy, Bernard.
That's right.
But Megamind comes up with a mega plan.
Right.
Which Minion was strongly suggesting that it probably wasn't a smart idea.
But don't they
But
find it's Hal Jordan or Hal
yes.
Gordon, I think, that's the cameraman for Roxanne.
Yes, who was in love with Roxanne. Also,
Actually,
it's creepy.
just to correct myself, Hal Stewart.
Hal Stewart, yeah.
Yes.
Very, very creepy.
He was, yes.
Obviously didn't get the hint. And she was giving him that she didn't, he wasn't
She
even
was
on
not
her name.
interested.
No. But didn't want to give up on that. But he met his space stepmom, which was Minion, and Megamind, who was Space Papa, I think it was. And just to see it, it's just so funny. But they inject him with this super serum to make him Titan, make
Right.
him the next superhero to Megamind. But it goes
Yes.
terribly wrong when, first off, Titan finally figures out that Roxanne doesn't love him, but loves
That's right.
Bernard. And then Megamind to start this big, huge fight because he's already wa lost Roxanne, he's
And he
lost Metro
finds
Man.
out that Bernard is actually Megamind, correct?
Yes, no, that's what happens is that Titan's furious. Roxanne's already he's already shown Roxanne that he's Megamind and she's rejected him. And so he decides to go for the ultimate fight. Finally to get Titan as his nemesis to fight and to do that. But then he figures out Titan's the actual villain. He is a
Right.
monster. And he's lost Minion, he's lost Roxanne. So Megamind goes back to prison to hide away for a little while. And then he
I was gonna
realizes.
say, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'll let you.
I was just gonna jump in real quick and say it's sad, really, because the story of House Stewart, you know, if we were to just take that as one angle of the film, it's really quite sad. Like you said, he was a creep. He did not have any social skills at all. He didn't really know how to take a hint. But the sad part about it is you look at him, he was a fairly wimpy, awkward kind of person, but he just became one bad dude. I mean,
Yeah, he
you know, he
wasn't
was given
bad.
great power and he took it out on everybody and just was not able to steward it.
Yeah,
But
and
yeah, he wasn't necessarily a wicked supervillain. I think he was just very frustrated and felt unseen, and that's how he took it out.
yeah, but I think he crossed that line though. Like there was a
Yeah.
line too where Megamind never crossed the line, certain lines. Because there
No.
was always a give and take and always like, oh, you'll put me back in jail. But he was willing, Titan was willing to kill
Right.
to end things. And that's
Oh, you make
crossing
a
a
good
specific
point. I
line.
forgot about that. I
Yep.
forgot about that.
But again, when at the beginning, you know, he was a guy who got rejected. He was a guy that, you know, he wasn't, you know, Metro Man. He wasn't, you know, buff and all this other stuff. But he had that choice when he became Titan that he could
That's
have
right.
taken it one way or the other. And he took it to the extreme. He was willing to kill everyone, to kill Roxanne, to kill Megamind, just because he could,
Right.
because he wanted, he was obsessed with power. So Megamind has to become the hero.
Remember what they did? They ran and they found Metro Man, and he was
Yep.
in a hideout and kind of living out his retirement, but they could not believe that he faked his death.
Yes, Metro Man faked his own death. He was back at the Skule. That became a secret hideout because it was an old building that got moved. He moved as a kid, I think, and may have moved again, probably. But he had all this Metro Man memorabilia, and he wanted to become a singer-songwriter. And I don't mean to laugh at that because everyone has dreams. Everyone wants to be, you know, something. But he wasn't good.
I wanted to read this note to you real quick since you brought it up. It says, this is on the Wikipedia page in the cast section, but talking about Metro Man, it says, the home release commentary notes that his costume and showmanship are purposely evocative of Elvis Presley. And Metro
Yep.
Man, as we know, is played by Brad Pitt.
Oh yeah. Very, very well, and on that trivia fact. Instead of voicing his character in a sound booth like you would normally do, Brad Pitt is a very active actor and insisted on using a handheld microphone for his performance and roaming around the studio. And I think that kind of gave that because recording wise, I record clients and myself and talent for commercials for my normal job. And so some people have to stand, some people have to sit, some people, you know, I use my hands a lot. And so I get that you just have to make that, you know, to make that character your own, to make that you
Right,
do that.
right.
And so that's the way he needed to do it. But Megamind kind of tells, not Megamind, sorry, Metro Man tells Megamind that Metro City needs a new hero. He's not coming back. And he could be that hero.
And it was really encouraging. You point that out, how motivating Metro Man was to Megamind. He believed in Megamind.
Yep. And that was very endearing too, to realize that Metro Man selfish of leaving and faking his own death, especially because I mean, if Roxanne was supposed to be his girlfriend, quote unquote, that was kind of a not a good move. You know, it was really nice because it kind of flipped it on its edge. Like if you go back to Superman, since Megamind's kind of like a Superman-esque kind of character, You could consider Megamind kind of like a Lex Luthor. That's who I was trying to think of before. You know, he does bad things. He's not a good guy, but he still kind of wants to be help and kind of wants to do that. Now, granted, Lex Luthor is still way more evil, and his plans do get foiled, but some of the time they actually do go through properly. So Megamind doesn't have that on him. But it's kind of nice though that they give this redemption arc for Megamind, and it kind of goes by quick, the fight with Titan. But I think it's also good because it's wrap up to the movie. They don't extend it out way too long. But he doesn't kill Titan. He just takes away his power. And Megamind, with the help of Minion, Roxanne, they all defeat Titan together. Now, of course, Megamind's the one to finish it. But if he wouldn't have been able to do it without them. And that's the true, I think, meaning of this movie too, is that, you know, that those friendships, that love, that really did help through him to become the hero that he was always meant to be, maybe. Of course, you know, a little genius.
I wanted to point out one fun fact before you hop in, because I'm sure you wanted to discuss the Rotten Tomato score and the audience score.
Yes.
Yes. Before we do that, I wanted to say this because I thought this was really neat. I was reading, and Ben Stiller does the voice of Bernard, who's the museum curator who Megamind impersonates. Now, the interesting thing about that is this. Ben Stiller, for those of you who don't know, played in Night at the Museum as a museum night guard.
Yes.
I
Through
just thought that
three
was interesting.
movies, right? Three or four movies.
Yes, three movies, I
Three movies.
believe.
Which I think maybe season three, two or three, we may watch one of those
Sure.
and talk about it, because it's been a while since I watched that. But like this star cast, this movie, I mean, it hit on a star cast level. Like I didn't there's very few animated movies that get that many stars in it and show good time between them, you know, and make a good storyline. And none of the characters tried to outshine anyone else. You knew who the main characters were, and you knew who the side characters were, but the side characters helped out just as much as the main. And it was really nice. You know, there was a pitch originally. This was supposed to be a live action film.
Really?
Yes, I
Wow.
think it was better that it wasn't. Especially 2010, the graphics back then were still, they were getting better. But they were still in the infancy, or maybe not infancy level, but very much, you know, childish. They weren't as CGI was not as good as it is, you know, back when the Avengers and all that started.
Yes.
The Rotten Tomato scores. This was one of the rare movies that the audience score was 70% and the tomato reader was 73%. And it was only an hour and 36-minute movie. I
Wow.
really think that it was just a nice, fun movie to go and see in 2010. 2018 for Japan, though, because
Wow.
they had when it was supposed to originally be released in 2000, March of 2011, it got canceled because there was a devastating earthquake that happened
Got it.
then. So they didn't see it till 2018, or at least their version of it. But yeah, no, this is a fun movie to watch. I think it's a really good movie to watch with kids too. It's not too scary by any means. And I think the kids will have some fun. And especially because you get to see an evil genius turn into a hero genius.
There's a redemption arc in the story. You do see some character development, which is nice for an animated film. It's not a lazy film, I think. As far as the writing goes, the story is well done.
Yes, very, very well done. I think all the characters, even the side characters, are done very, very well. You know what? I think we need to start a new thing this time, and I haven't even told you about this. I think we need to rate this. I will give it a 8 popcorns out of 10. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really, really good. I think some things could have maybe if it was a little longer, maybe they could have dove into a couple other little things and not rushed the end really, really fast, even though I do think it was a good level of rushing too. It wasn't bad, but I think they could have, done a little bit more, especially with Titan himself, maybe give him a little bit more time. But 8 popcorns out of 10 is not bad. What about you, JC?
So I think my rating is probably close to yours. I was thinking originally maybe a 7, 7.5. It has been a while since I've seen the film, but I remember it pretty well. And I would agree with you. I don't think I'd go really any lower or higher than that. I think an 8 is a fair score.
All right, folks, you have the Popcornalorian score of 8 popcorns for me, 7, 7.5 for JC. Thank you so much for tuning in to Popcorn and Lore. You just were listening to our podcast about Megamind. Coming up in our next podcast, we're going to be talking about the underrated movie Flushed Away. You can always hear us on Branson Podcast Network, Spotify, and of course, anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. And as always, I'm Steph with an F. JC.
Keep on imagining.